We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes. About a cage, and this town too. I'll see you once in a while, but I can't be seen with you. This place is a narrative mess, the floor a tangle of bed sheets and battered sundress. Dried in the well of Congress once so consequential. Now sequential, 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 sequential.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very gray and dreary edition of Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Terry Diabolic, a finger on the pulse. Sitting and sliding to the chair is DJ Never Forget. How are you?
Good. I am good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just staring at a very gross, rainy, gray day.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome. Well, you weren't here last week, were you?
I was absolutely
2 weeks ago?
Here.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks
ago. I get my times mixed up. Welcome to Snacky Tunes. Post-Thanksgiving.
Post-Thanksgiving.
Pre-Christmas, pre-Hanukkah, pre-Kwanzaa.
Really, it all, I mean, I think...
Someone told me today is Cyber Monday, which is supposedly when you get good online deals. Is that true?
Yes.
It is? It's Cyber Monday.
Is that the new Black Friday?
Black Friday is the Cyber Monday is the modern Black Friday.
Great,
because it's in the future.
Yeah, great. Good Thanksgiving. Had fun DJing. Live forever. Shout out to John Redden.
I mean, I didn't do anything. I had surgery on Wednesday, and I sat in my house until Saturday to a DJ.
I took care of business for us downtown.
Yeah, I'm better though.
But
I'm healing.
We have a packed studio today. We have our special musical guest, Alan Astor. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great.
Thanks for coming out on Saturday, man. Meant a lot to see you.
Yeah, man. You guys were amazing.
Now you're just saying that because we're getting you free pizzas.
It is the pizza, I'll be honest.
Yeah, big shout out to Roberta's, not only sponsoring our show today, but sponsoring our stomachs with delicious food.
And shout out to Jack, Inzi, and Rec Tech holding it down in the production booth, as always.
And but who are really, you know, I mean, Alan, I'm excited to see you, but I see you all the time.
It's true.
We live around the corner from each other, but I want to welcome the Applestones.
Yes.
Welcome to our studio. You might know them from their fantastic operation of Fleischer's
upstate New York. Want to tell us about tell a
well, introduce yourselves. We have Joshua and Jessica.
I'm Jessica Applestone, and I'm a co-owner of Fleischer's.
And I'm obviously Joshua because my voice is nowhere near as high as Jessica.
let's also not forget that you are also the Muru.
I have been titled the Muru.
What is the Muru?
That's up to Josh to explain.
I think it comes from just being able to really explain to people in a very non-intimidating way about how to handle proteins, beef, lamb, pork, and chicken, and just trying to bust the myths out there of things people worry about or the intimidation it is to cook at home. We just make it easier.
What is a common myth that you bust on a weekly basis?
Probably how to defrost meat. That's probably one of the best ones.
Oh, actually, I have some of your meat in the freezer from the shoot. I actually was going to ask you because I didn't know how to properly defrost it. So let's do this.
Okay, let's just start with not on your countertop.
Okay.
Okay. That would be the first thing.
Okay.
I mean, Josh can take over if you want. The best way to defrost meat is always keeping it at a cool temperature.
Okay.
So if you can, if you have the time to defrost it in your refrigerator, take it from your freezer to your refrigerator on a plate or a bowl so it doesn't drip into your lovely cheese or
low
your
shelf too. When
yeah,
you defrost
exactly.
It.
So okay. You're kind of, you know, working with gravity in that way too. But if you don't have the time to do that, then the best way to go is to put it in cold water, not warm water. Because otherwise you're going to kill all your dinner guests. And basically you want to do cold water. And then as soon as the water starts getting warm, make it cold again. So keep it running. Or either keep it running if you live in New York City and you have an endless amount of water. Or if you live where we are and we have a well system, just keep changing the water out until so it's cold. And it should defrost within a couple of hours then.
I did not know that. Oh, wait a second. Can we define cold temperature-wise?
Below 40.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. How long does it take to defrost in the fridge?
About a day and a half.
No, probably around 12 hours to 18. As far as like
depends on what it is,
cookable.
Really.
You know,
yeah,
not completely soft, but
right.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, now I learned. That's some takeaway knowledge for me.
Boom.
But so for I'm sure a lot of people in the Heritage Radio Network know about Fleischer's, but people in the Finger on the Pulse world might not know as much. Do you want to just give a brief, you know, a 30-second rundown about what you guys are about, where you're located, how
sure.
this happened?
We started 5.5 years ago. Josh and I came up with the idea of Fleischer's. It was a very selfish reason that we started. Josh at the time was a vegetarian. He was a vegan when I met him. And I was a vegetarian that was sort of transitioning into eating meat, which is really common, I think. But I didn't know where to get the kind of meat that I was looking for. I wanted meat that was raised sustainably and killed or slaughtered ethically. And I wasn't really sure when I went to the farmers markets what I was getting. It was always these sort of frozen hunks of, I didn't know what, like chuck roasts or arm roasts or things like I had no idea and looked like they would feed 12 people rather than the one person that I was. And when I would go to the supermarkets in our area, sometimes things were labeled local. And, you know, I didn't know if that meant that they were raised without hormones and antibiotics. So I was really concerned. And then I would go to the local farms and they always wanted to sell me half an animal, you know, half a pig, a side of beef. And I was the only one in the household eating meat at that
right.
point.
Besides the dogs.
Aside from the dogs, yeah. So there was no way that I was going to be able to plow through a side of beef in less than 3 years, probably. So right. I kind of backed off on that idea. So we thought there must be other people in mixed marriages like ourselves. And we came up with the idea of Fleischer's, and we started and we located it in Kingston, New York, which is, I don't know if you guys know this, but the Hudson Valley was mm-hmm. formerly the breadbasket of, you know, right. New York City and Brooklyn. And so we are in this really, really fortunate position because we're in this amazingly beautiful area and there are farms all over the place. And so we never get anything that's raised further than 100 miles away. At this point, it's really 50 miles away for us. We get everything slaughtered locally. So, you know, our slaughterhouse is 20 minutes away from the shop. And that is our son, Isaiah. He's 17 months old today. So. Oh, and he's been raised on nothing but Fleischer's meats and local dairy.
Wow.
And awesome. Local produce. Yeah, he's a pretty organic kid. So all of the stuff that we do is pasture raised, meaning that our beef is raised on pasture and fed grain throughout the year when it is not, when we don't do 100% grass fed, which is what we do when that's in season. We do lamb, pork, and poultry as well. We do make our own sausages that we're really well known for. We make our own stocks. We use everything. We sell, we have a complete nose to tail philosophy. So that's what we do.
Why don't you elaborate on the nose to tail, which is just a good, I mean, it's a great image, but just, and follow up, can you tell us where the nose and the tail wind up in your product?
Yeah. Well, the tail part is easy, but we basically, when we started Fleischer's, had the idea that if we were going to be killing animals, if we were going to have animals slaughtered for us.
And we prefer to use the term processing, not killing.
Processing,
actually.
Okay. That we would... that we had to honor that, you know, that that was a life that was being lost and that we really couldn't waste that life. So we made very definite decisions in what we did and how we used all of that meat and how we used all of the extra stuff that you guys might not see in your supermarket or even even if you go to a farm, you might not see it. So we use all our bones for stock. We use we sell marrow bones. Lots of people buy them for their dogs, which we feel is a waste because you can make the most delicious marrow butter from it. But, you know, that's we make our own soap. We've made candles in the past. We make suet balls for birds with the extra fat. We sell lard from pigs for pastry and for anything else that you could possibly think of.
Deep frying turkeys.
Yes, deep frying turkeys. We and French fries, for that matter. We do oxtails, which is where the tails end up, and we don't get the heads of the steer.
No,
though
we
did
get
beef cheeks for a long. We do get beef cheeks for a long time.
We don't anymore.
We don't
slaughterhouses we use. The smaller slaughterhouses really don't have HACCP plans for stuff like that, so we don't get to use the heads.
But the pig heads, you know, go to restaurants that use them, or we've, you know, used them in different ways. We've pulled the cheeks, the ears.
We guanciale from the cheeks.
Exactly.
The actual jowls go to guanciale. The cheeks we use for braising. The heads usually get picked apart and used for various types of charcuterie.
Awesome. So I think we're going to play a song.
Well, actually...
So let's take a pause and we'll come
take
back.
Take a pause.
We'll take
but
a pause.
I just want to say that we used your products in our show, which is one of the reasons why that you're here. We used the lamb loin.
For
that's one of my favorites.
For the actual Final Fantasy, that track that started off our show, Keep the Dog Quiet, which is on ifc.com/dinner with the band. But like when we pulled out that piece of loin, everyone's just like... Oh, I mean, it just looks different. It looks different.
Healthy animals' muscles look totally different.
Yes, and we'll talk about why that difference and how you can become part of this and just come back. Listening to Snacky Tunes, heritageradionetwork.com. Let's keep it warm and breezy. Never forget. Take us away.
Down. A top turns over when gazing into the night. Your sensations, information is making it turn to life. To be near you just feels right. Mountains and valley hikes. I brought the flowers to the picnic, but men in this eggshell white. And they say darkness falls. I miss you more. Two missed calls can't take no more. It's what Brooklyn's been waiting for. Heart my life I stood patient for. But the town turned blue. That's the first I lay my eyes on you. Now it's us in this humdrum town. I'm gonna keep my eyes on you. You.
Welcome back. You're listening to Snacky Tunes on Heritage Radio Network. I'm one half your host, Ty Diabolic of Finger on the Pulse. That was just DJ Never Forget playing a very appropriate Thelopolis London song, which name escapes me right now.
Humdrum Town. It just came out. I think it's on Green Label Sound. If you just Google Humdrum Town, you can actually download it for free on the interwebs.
Awesome. Well, if you're just joining us, we have a very lovely packed studio. We have Joshua and Jessica from Fleischer's.
And their son,
who's 17 months strong today.
17 months strong.
17 months year months young. And we are talking about Fleischer's and local producing of meat and sustainability. And while we were going to the break, we were talking about how we use their products on our show and the difference in locally raised meat and how it just, I mean, even just the look taste of it.
When I brought my friend up to pick up all the meat, I was actually shocked how beautiful the meat looked. It was just, I mean, it's really hard to, it almost looked like, I keep trying to describe people, it looked like if a pastry shop, but with meat.
That is so nice of you.
That's very nice.
You're
painting a case. When we train butchers, we explain to them that, you know, the case is a blank canvas, and every day you're painting a canvas. You're painting a painting every day, a different picture. It depends on the weather, depends on, you know, even your mood. One of the interesting things about casework is that people really don't understand like how unbelievably important it is as a butcher to be able to make raw meat look like candy. Have no different when a chef plates something and a server puts a plate of food in front of you, your eyes are already eating it. And you'll know before it even hits your mouth whether you're going to enjoy this meal or not, usually. And that's the same thing with a case, where it's really important for people to feel very motivated, passionate, have invoked feelings. Like I said, it's like, you know, you're still thinking about it.
Right.
That's exactly what you want to happen.
Right. I mean, Sam always says to us, you know, you eat with your eyes first. So, I mean, you could have two meals prepared with the same ingredients and just plated two different ways, and one you'd be like, this is great, and the other one would be like, this is awful. I don't want this.
I mean, everyone wants stuff to look nice, you know, whatever it is.
And it's
your food's important.
It's one of those things where once you see, you know, the type of product you're putting out, the type of food you guys are putting out, and then you go back to your normal supermarket, you start to realize, you're like, wait, what am I actually eating? Like, what's actually coming out of, like, this mass production? And even if nobody makes a switch right away, you start to realize, like, that there is a difference.
Oh, it's a huge difference. And it's really, it's interesting from
people who work for us that wind up moving on to other fields, and they're just
they can never go back to eating traditional meat.
It's all over for them, and it's really interesting. We have customers too that we wind up closing for 3 or 4 days, and they would have to go somewhere else, and they just come back going, "Wow, it's just unbelievable."
Well, we've done it too. I mean, we've gone to restaurants and eaten meat. We were just talking about this, we're amazed by the fact that of the taste, there's no taste. You know, it's sort of, it's bland, it's flat, it's, you know, we think of our meat as wines almost, you know, it's really resonates with where it's raised. It's kind of like the terroir of the meat. And so it's earthy and rich and grassy and all the things that you kind of want meat to be, but you don't realize it until you have the right meat.
So get a good wine.
Yeah. You know, so tell us, one of the things that we talked about when you showed me, you guys kind of work like a front to back system where like you're clearing out. And one of the things you said is that you were working towards a zero garbage can philosophy, which you said is very old school. I had never heard of it. And I'd love for you to just elaborate on that a little bit more for the listeners.
It comes from my whole philosophy with that comes from, working with some really good chefs in the past. Ben Barker comes to mind out of the Magnolia Grill in Durham. That everything gets used, you know, carrot tops, onion skins, proteins are the same thing where, you know, a lot of them can be used in really good ways that you wouldn't really think of. Friends of ours and I, we are getting into making a pork skin gnocchi or pork skin sauce, which is, you know, regular nice bolognese sauce or even very light meat, if any, and you braise pork skin down in strips until it's almost translucent, and it just becomes creamy and delicious, and the flavor really just goes throughout the entire sauce, and it's a great way of using something that, just like how ground beef is really important to be used for steers because there's more ground beef than anything else in that animal. That skin, you know, pigs have skin, and it's really good not to throw it away. So again, like, you know, one way to use that is exactly, you know,
the reason that it's so old school too is, I mean, you're talking about times when there was a butcher when they had to use everything economically. You know, there wasn't the waste that there is now, and people weren't raising steer and having them slaughtered by the thousands. You know, there was a whole different sort of financial thought cost to all of this. You know, steak's always been expensive. And so if you look at even my family, my mother didn't grow up really eating steak very often. It was really a treat. Whereas, you know, they might have had roasts or tongue was really big when my mom grew up. And, you know, I grew up with that too, just because my mom actually enjoyed it. One of the few people that probably does. But, you know, tongue is great. And there's really no reason for us not to have that as part of what we eat. But people have, in America especially, really gone the other direction. And so what we find ourselves selling a lot of is, you know, really big steaks, which is another thing we can talk about as far as mythology goes, a huge steak for one person, or boneless, skinless chicken breasts. And that kind of, you know, it saddens us in some ways.
I think what we've learned about this, about like of that is like these myths that you talk about and about how, you know, I mean, you're right, like, up until maybe like Tad's or Sizzler really started promoting the idea of like every man deserves a steak. Like steak, 40 years ago, 50 years ago was a rarity.
Exactly.
And now there's a whole thing about like USDA prime and like what's actually like really prime and things like that. And, you know, you say that you work with local people and like the difference of like a big steak and raw chicken. And like, how do you go the process of not only picking who you work with to provide your meat, but then like classifying it as a more truthful system than, you know, big, I guess, meat-producing factories, if you will.
Right. Well,
40, 50 years ago, first of all, there wasn't as much factory farming as there is today, which made it immediately steak was not as accessible because you're still dealing with nose-to-tail philosophy where you have so many parts on these animals, so many animals to go through. You know, you have to price it accordingly. You continue.
After World War II is when the big change happened from how meat was traditionally raised to how we've changed everything, and now we have these industrial slaughterhouses, we have factory farms, and we have feedlots. We choose our farmers very simply because they're able to follow a standard that we've set out. We have no antibiotics, no hormones. They must be pastured. They must either grow grain, if they're going to feed their animals grain, on their land or get it locally from a local co-op. That's all really, really important to us. So a lot of the
breeding programs,
so it's in on-farm breeding and that they're not going to auctions and buying animals. There's definitely sort of that self-selects in some ways. The other part of that is that if it's not self-selective, because there are a lot of farmers who are doing what we ask them to do at this point, we also have to deal with farmers that are growing enough. We usually don't deal with farms that have, say, 5 to 10 animals. We need farmers that do a larger amount than that. Otherwise, what we found when we first started is we were decimating farmers' herds. You know, we were basically coming in, and we go through three steer a week at this point, four or five at other times. You know, it just sort of depends on the season. And we would come in and we would buy four or five steer from them, and that was it. You know, there was no more, pretty much, that were ready at that point. So it was very hard for us when we first started this, and we would go to the different farms and we'd check them out. We were very lucky to meet some really, really amazing farmers and really amazing slaughterhouse people, too, that would, you know, that guided us in how to pick animals and what to look for and how to talk to farmers and where to go. All of that was really, really new to us because Josh and I come from Long Island. We're, you know, we're nice kids from Long Island. I had never been on a farm before. I don't know, you know, how much Josh had been either, but certainly we didn't come from farming backgrounds. So that was... that was a whole new education for us.
Awesome. Well, we want to thank you for coming by today. We want to thank you for your support for the show. Your lamb will be featured predominantly tomorrow. And then I believe we also have Sharon Steaks were last week, which also looked fantastic. And I believe there's one more that you gave to us. The duck buns, yes. Which will be in, I think, believe in a few weeks as well. So thank you very much.
Oh,
stay,
anytime.
Enjoy the pizza. Terry, you want to take me to the set?
Yes, you are listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Never Forgets about to hop on the decks. We have Alan Astor chewing on some pizza, going to drop us a set later on. Big shout out to Roberta's, our lovely sponsor, and Jack Inslee and RecTech as our production engineer. Let's get going to the future. Never forget.
Simultaneous.
ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. That was just DJ Never Forget dropping us an awesome set on a gloomy day. I apologize if it sounds like my mouth was full, but that's because it is. Full of delicious Roberta's pizza. Not only are we airing out of the back of the restaurant in two awesome shipping containers, but they are today's sponsor for both the show and our hunger. We are lucky enough to be joined by Alan Astor, our friend, our neighbor. Neighbor. That was a pizza.
Like a major neighbor.
Partner in crime right on some weekends.
Yeah, man.
What's up?
Just so I can say that last track was Space Base, Voyager. It's still a demo, but Danzy and her production partner. Little Danzy.
Oh, yeah.
And then before that was the final redo of the simultaneously remixed by Lauren Flax, who's eating a Hungry Man slice in the main dining room.
Danzy is DJing Lude this Thursday at Orchard Bar.
And she's also DJing tonight with Gavin Royce at the Dark Room, which I will be at. After the sake bar. I got a Monday planned. That's on Monday.
This sounds great.
I was unaware of all these plans.
Yeah, I just found out.
Are we going to the Moth as well?
Yes. Packed week. So what's up, man?
Hanging out, man. Just getting back to it after Thanksgiving weekend. You know me?
Yeah. You were just in Dubai.
I was.
Which sounds crazy. We told you to make sure you cleaned your suitcase because you hear those stories of rappers and rock stars who get flagged because they have like trace amounts of drugs and they get locked up in prison for 7 years. This is not rumor. This is fact.
They have a prison full of rock stars and DJs in Dubai.
Do they really?
No. Well, I mean,
they've got a couple rappers.
If you look around, I mean, there's definitely some scary stories. You know, it's like Dubai is an amazing place, and it's a place that is progressing very quickly. But you know, I mean, some of their laws are just different than some of the laws that we have here, and you know, it's easy to get confused.
So, you know, what have you been up to? I mean, I know you got that new mixtape you got coming out that you played for us.
Yeah, I got.
Give
the new
us a rundown.
Tape.
But I was like, hey man, haven't seen you in a couple of years. What have you been up to? You would say,
I would say, you know, I've been traveling, playing music, and next couple of weeks are kind of big. I have the mixtape coming out, Summer to Winter, that you heard. I have a new remix of a rapper named Jet Phoenix, who not many people have heard about yet, but I'll play the track in just a minute. And I also have some tracks coming out on Alexander Technique's label, DJs Are Not Rock Stars. That's coming out this December. And I got those for you, too.
Awesome. And he lives across the street from us.
It's all
we all live in like a half a block radius.
It's all Brooklyn Hood.
It's all Brooklyn Hood. Yeah. I don't know what to say.
I'm excited to see that you're here.
Yeah, I'm excited to see you.
So let's talk a little bit about your process.
Yeah, actually, let's give a little history.
Let's give a little
history. Cut back to, I'm 27 now.
All right.
Let's cut back 7 years.
7 years ago.
I think that's the right time. 7 years ago.
I'm going back. Okay.
Music director at KWVA.
Right.
My little college station in Oregon, and I get a CD in the mail from Alan Astor.
Yes.
Not from Alan Astor, from his PR company. And I think you were up on Pitchfork, too. There's like a lot of love. What was the name of that single?
The single was Fantastic Fantasy. That came out in 2005.
Right. And this is, so maybe it's not 7 years ago, but it's still a good chunk. 4 years ago?
4 years ago.
Let's
say
four or five years ago. But I was like, huh, all right, this guy's, you know, this was as my transition from rock to dance music. And I played that song.
That's
on
awesome,
my radio man. Show. And then so.
I'm psyched to hear
And
that.
Then we booked you. And I was like, dude, this guy was writing me back. We should book him for a finger on the Pulse party. I was like, he's playing on the radio. And then it turns out we all knew the same people.
Right.
But I remember that part. It was us and Classics over at Hugs.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
in the hood.
So from the track in 05 to now, you've talked about like evolving and changing your approach, and it'd be a good thing to share with dear listeners.
Yeah, sure. I guess I'm always just trying to keep it current, you know, and you know, like going back to that song which you were saying is, you know, like a transition from rock to dance, you know, that's really what was happening, you know. Everybody who was going to rock shows was trying to figure out, hey, you know, what's going on with this dance thing? And there's definitely a lot of people like myself, you know, who were going to those rock shows with being like, you know, we should be dancing a little bit more. So, you know, I put that record together. And then, you know, next few years, people are dancing more. I've got much more into remixing. I've been exploring a lot of my love for hip hop. And, you know, just always trying to go out and, you know, see what's going on at the parties and seeing what people are really responding to and seeing what I'm really responding to. And then, I don't know, you just go in the studio, come out a couple of hours later, and you got something good to put down, you know?
Well, that sounds like we should hear what you're feeling. So do you want to plug in?
I'd love to. We're going to dance
you across the studio.
All right. Try to hear what you're putting down.
Yeah. All right. Plug on in. We'll do an outro.
All right. Give me a minute.
Yeah, give you a second.
So anyway, so again, big shout out to our sponsors today, Roberta's.
And to Jack Inzy and Rec Tech.
I mean, every week.
Every week. And the Fleischer crew is about to say au revoir. So thank you for coming.
And make sure to tune in and see their meet on IFC tomorrow night at 11 p.m. for the Final Fantasy episode.
Great.
Any parting words?
Just come by and visit us at the shop. We're in Kingston.
It's not that I drove there. It's like maybe 5 minutes off the highway.
Yeah, it's super actually simple. It's really, really simple and so beautiful. I mean, the area is just great. So you can come and
go antiquing.
Exactly. Come visit us. Go to the tapas bar that uses our meat across the street. It's all lovely. Or visit us on the web. We now do New York City and Brooklyn delivery. So we're
I forgot to ask. If I wanted to eat at a restaurant in the New York Brooklyn area, where do you service?
Flatbush Farms or Farm and Adderley. There's tons of places in New York City as well. Brooklyn, you can get our meat at the Meat Hook now.
Tom Weiland's new spot,
exactly. You can get our meat, I think soon or maybe now at the Green Grape.
Okay.
Which is, you know, in the Clinton Hill, Fort Greene area. So there's lots of places to get it, and you can always check out our website at www.fleischers.com and, you know, check out where you can get it on that as well. We always have an updated listing.
Awesome. And that's F-L-E-I-S-H-E-R-S.
Correct.
Fleischers.com. So thank you very much to you and your husband and your son for coming through.
Thank you.
And right now we have Alan Astor on Snacky Tunes, heritageradionetwork.com. Take us away, buddy.
We'll be right back. primitive, maar niet een kvinne weed, maar niet een kvinne weed, maar niet een kvinne weed. Ja, liever primitive, maar niet een kvinne weed, maar niet een kvinne weed.
That keeps my fire burning.
Live it primitive, not need a kvinne weed, not need a kvinne weed, not need a kvinne weed. You live it primitive, not need a kvinne weed, not need a kvinne weed.
That keeps my fire burning.
You live it primitive, not need a kvinne weed, not need a kvinne weed, not need a kvinne weed. You live it primitive, not need a kvinne weed, not need a kvinne weed, not live it primitive. Shake your body, girl. Wine for the money, honey. Shake your body, girl. Shake your body, girl. Shake your body, girl. Wine for the money, honey. No, no, we not take it, take it. Come on and get naked.
Wind it up now.
She looks good when she's angry, but she's too fiesty. She looks good when she's angry, but she's too fiesty. She looks good when she's angry, but she's too fiesty. She looks good when she's angry, but she's too fiesty.
Just
Hold up, born in 88.
Yeah, for the
listening to Finger on the Pulse, hosting Snacky Tunes. I am one half DJ Never Forget. That is Terry Diabolik to my left, and Alan Astor fading a tune down. Yeah. Alan Astor, what's up, man?
What's up,
y'all? Why don't you tell us what you played?
What did I play? I played a couple of tracks in there. I played the Jet Phoenix remix, which I just finished, Stay Hot. I threw in my old Single Ladies remix in there, which still love and everybody still goes crazy for. I had some Shake It featuring Sirochi. We had this Not a Strong track that we ended with. That was one of the biggest ones for me this year, that Kid Cudi remix. Loved that.
Oh yeah. Bit more of a banging style than we play, but that's why I love dealing with you. You bring something else to the table. Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
I'm always high energy, so.
So you DJing out anytime soon? Forgot to ask. Any upcoming gigs?
Yeah, I might be in Boston this weekend, and then I'm playing somewhere here next on the 12th is next weekend, right? Yeah, I'm at Brooklyn Bowl.
Are you playing Brooklyn Bowl?
Yeah, I believe so. So a really nice girl, Jennifer Kells, her birthday party.
Oh, yeah. Music slut?
Yeah. You know those people?
Oh, yeah. We did.
So many people we know.
We worked on after the Jump Festival with her. Yeah. Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
That is killer. She's got great taste.
And they have an amazing sound system.
Yeah, amazing sound system. And I played her birthday party a couple of years ago. She's a really fun girl. And music slut. They do they do great things.
That's awesome. Speaking of Brooklyn Bowl, we're going to be doing that Soul Bowl party with the Mellomatics featuring Binky Griptight.
I did hear about this.
On the 16th. It's a free party. We're going to be spinning soul, and they're going to be doing two live sets covering like Ike and Tina, standard, some classics. It's great. Auntie Ballas, people's in there. Reverend Heater in there. It's gonna be fun, and it's free. It's a great Wednesday. Man. You don't have anything to do.
Fried chicken, bowling, soul music.
I'm sold. You had me at fried chicken.
So I want to thank our guest today. I want to thank Alan Astor for coming by.
Appreciate it.
What are you gonna play for us on the way out?
Oh, I'll play you. This is my new single that's coming out on DJs Are Not Rock Stars December 15th. It's called I'm Burning Up. Recorded this in Philly a couple months ago.
Sweet. And a big thank you to Fleischers and the Appleton family for coming in. Great to meet their son. Really great to meet just family operations. We really implore you to check out their meat as well. They do deliver to New York, and they also have a list of all the restaurants in the area that they service, and it really is fantastic.
Also, a big shout out to Jack Inslee and RecTech, our producer and engineer. Also, thank you to Roberta's for sponsoring both our show and our hunger.
And make sure to tune in tomorrow night to IFC at 11 p.m. or set your DVRs so you're not, you know, so you can watch at your leisure. Final Fantasy. Next week, I believe we have members of Les Savvy Fav in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't think we have a food guest set up yet, but we'll figure it out.
Hey, if you're a food guest and you have something interesting that you want to say, you can always reach out to us at music@fotpnyc.com. Also, if you're just a fan and you want to hear something that we're not talking about or just some other tunes or you, I don't know, maybe you want to email Hug.
And if you enjoyed this show and you haven't been listening to us from the start, all of our episodes are podcast. If you just go to iTunes Store Podcast and search Snacky Tunes, we'll come up. And that's about it.
It's snack with a Y.
Snack with a Y.
Anyway, we are Finger on the Pulse. You're always humble and hungry radio servants hanging out on a gloomy day in Brooklyn. Snacky Tunes, Heritage Radio Network. Alan Astor, send us home.
People on the floor. We'll be right back. Is it starting to get hot? Hot on the floor. Hot on the floor. Hot on the floor. Is it starting to get hot? Hot on the floor. Hot on the floor. Hot on the floor. Is it starting to get hot? Hot on the floor. Hey, people on the floor. Is it starting to get hot? Is it starting to get hot? Hot, hot. Hey, people on the floor. Is it starting to get hot? Is it starting to get hot? Hot, hot. Hey, people on the floor. Is it starting to get hot? Is it starting to get hot? Hot, hot. Yeah. Hey, people on the floor. Is it starting to get hot? Is it starting to get hot? Hot, hot. Hey, people on the floor. Is it starting to get hot? Is it starting to get hot? Hot, hot. Hey, people on the floor. Is it starting to get hot? I'm burning up.